Hi, my name is Molly Elizabeth. I believe in the power of imagination, that creativity can lift us out of the darkest places, and that we all are resilient as fuck. I'm here to let you know that you're darling and loved, and that coming home to yourself is the most revolutionary thing that you could ever do. This is the Darling Revolution Podcast. Okay, welcome to the show, Kit. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm excited to introduce you to the audience. If you guys don't know Kit Kronk, she's amazing. She does lettering and designs for bookish, fangirly, feminist things. And I've known her for, oh my gosh, I think at least 3 years now, if not more. Welcome to the show, Kit. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice. Whenever people introduce me and they call me like a bookish, nerdy, fangirl, feminist, I'm just like, oh, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I have achieved what I need to with my life.
It's so great. And I remember like diving right in, I guess when I first met you, you were just starting to do like lettering things and you had not niched down. And I remember when you did niche down, we had like a conversation where you were like, I'm really scared to do this because I'm afraid that I'm just going to lose half the people that are buying things from me. So I would love to hear, let's start with that. Can we hear a little bit more about your journey, like starting business, but then how the bookish stuff happened? Because I know that it's like exploded from there.
Yeah. So it is so funny now thinking about how nervous I was about sort of niching down, and I can't imagine not having done it now because it's been one of the best things I've ever done. But when I first started, I was doing what I think a lot of people who kind of get into lettering do. And I was just lettering a whole bunch of stuff like Bible verses and quotes from people that I liked. I was lettering funny greeting cards and just there wasn't really any I guess you'd say niche. There wasn't really any purpose other than I was exploring sort of this new skill and new medium and sort of really enjoying it. And over time, I think it kind of happened because when I first started lettering, I was still in a corporate job. And eventually I decided to leave that job and study graphic design because really leaning into the lettering and stuff made me realize how much I enjoyed the creative sort of job. And I just decided to take a leap and sort of go study something for a couple of months and sort of change careers. And I knew that studying graphic design would help with running the business of doing lettery stuff and whatever. And so I did that, and I think throughout that process and stepping away from like my corporate job and who I felt I was supposed to be in my corporate job, I kind of reconnected with my very intense love of books and nerdiness and sci-fi and how much of a fangirl and a nerd I have sort of been my whole life, but I kind of stepped away from it, I think, in my early 20s and like late teens because I felt like I had to be a grown-up.
Isn't that weird how that works?
but like I'm so glad I've come back to it. And I think because the internet is such an amazing place, I've been able to connect with other like adult fangirls across the world who are also grown-ups, and like there's no shame in it for me anymore. And it's something I'm actually really proud of. And I'm not sure I would have gotten there if it wasn't for the online community, to be honest, because people in my own life don't always really get it. Like my husband does because he's a massive nerd as well, which works really well. But I think, yeah, other people can be a bit weirded out by how intense I get about books and, you know, Star Trek and all that sort of stuff.
Well, but, I'm all for all the Star Trek fangirling. Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned like the online community too. I was thinking back to when we first met and it was like when Boss Project was still Think Creative Collective, which was like an online group that we're still both part of. And there were all of these other things that don't even exist anymore. Like there was this thing called like Flock & Co, which is how we met. And it didn't doesn't even exist anymore, but I feel like it was just about 4 years ago or so. And it was really when things were starting to pick up online for female entrepreneurs, like having community. Cause I think like before that, there wasn't really anything. And it's amazing how much it's changed in a couple of years.
It really has. And I think it's it's changed my life. I would say more than half of my really close friends are people who I've never met in real life.
Right. I know.
Which is bizarre. But it's just also really wonderful and lovely.
Yeah. I mean, like we still haven't hugged, and I'm very excited once this shelter in place thing is lifted.
Yeah.
So basically moving on from that, to talk about what's going on right now. If you are listening to this podcast episode in the future, we are right in the middle of this really weird time with the COVID-19 pandemic and almost everyone in the world sheltering in place and basically hanging out online for the most part. And it's been a really weird time in a lot of ways, but especially as a creative and a business owner, I'm sure that it's changed things for you. And I'd love if you could just kind of talk about, I don't know, how are you doing with all this and how's your business doing and what's up with everything?
Yeah. So it's been a crazy time for everyone. I feel like everyone's been impacted in different ways. So from a business perspective, like I guess from a numbers perspective, I'm probably down to maybe 20% of my usual income. And I did a Facebook post the other week, which I tagged you in, talking about the fact that I've had to realize that I haven't made, like, this isn't a failure. This is not like that my business isn't viable or wasn't good, because I'd put a lot of effort into building this business up over the last, you know, 3-4 years. And I've been very intentional about creating multiple income streams, which not a lot of artists are able to do. So I've been really lucky to be able to do that. And I had, you know, diverse, like 5 different income streams that were all pretty solid, and pretty much all but like 1.5 of them have like crashed in the last 2-3 weeks. So that's been really hard. And I think, yeah, like I said, the biggest thing is just reminding myself that this is not my fault. This is not a failure. This is like a global unprecedented situation. And basically, unless you're in like healthcare right now, there's really not any job that's been unaffected. And yeah.
Yeah, it's really wild. And it's been interesting because with a lot of creatives and artists and people like us that I've been talking to, there's been this kind of weird push and pull of, you know, the conversation of like essential versus non-essential. And I think it's been messing with people's identities in a lot of ways, to be considered quote unquote non-essential. Because I don't know about you or if you've thought about this before, but there's been a lot of artists that have been asking about like, well, is it okay for me to talk about my work? Like, is it inappropriate somehow because it's not essential? Or so I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that. I kind of shared a podcast episode about that last week, but I've been wondering what other people are thinking on that subject.
Yeah, so I know that this is something you and I have, we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks as well. And I'm in a bit of a weird place with it, where I think that it's important for me to continue sharing my work and continue talking and engaging on Instagram, because a lot of my followers have actually expressed that they want something to be normal. And they have, like, I did a, like in my Insta stories, like I asked the question, like, what can I be doing to help you all, like, is there anything that you need me to do or stop doing or whatever? And the resounding answer from all my followers was, please just keep doing what you normally do. We just need you to stay like normal.
Yeah.
And be almost a, you know, somewhere that they can go to kind of get away from everything else that's happening in their lives. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, great, because I don't have the energy to talk about COVID-19 right now.
Oh yeah. Because, and it's everywhere.
Yeah. I would rather pretend it doesn't exist. So, yeah. So that has actually been really encouraging, and the community of like, part of the side effect of, I think, niching down for my stuff is that my online community is pretty tight. Like, we support each other. Over this time, I've actually started an online book club with a bunch of my Bookstagram friends, and who are all from Australia, and we've been catching up. And that in itself has just been wonderful, just developing sort of deeper friendships with these ladies and having a sense of connection and, I guess, kind of normalcy, because we just mm-hmm. chat about books and stuff, which is really lovely. So I think that creativity and community are both still really important at this time, and there's no reason that we should stop doing them, because like, people need it more than ever, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Mm. I agree with you 100%. And it's really interesting to me thinking about all of the fangirl nostalgic stuff, because it was really important to us, like has always been important to us. And it's interesting because it's come for me and for a lot of people even more to the forefront, because everyone's going back to things that bring them comfort. And a lot of those things are like those nostalgic things. Like, I'm going back and watching Star Trek Next Generation again, you know, or, you know, I'm reading comic books that have always brought me a lot of hope and things like that. And I got the same response from my people too, is that they were just like, I need color in my life. I need something pretty that's not just, you know, the news in front of my face all day. And I was surprised, even in the first couple of weeks that this stuff was happening, that people were still buying artwork. And then I had to take a step back and be like, oh, of course they are. Like, art is hope, and so is everything, you know, like nostalgic related, everything creativity related is like why we're alive, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, because I think as creatives, we are taught to undervalue our work at any opportunity.
Right.
It is really hard. It's very countercultural and really difficult to see value and worth in things that you create. And, you know, so if anyone's struggling with that, you are not alone. That is 100% what all of us are dealing with all the time. Like, even when you talk to like really big successful artists or illustrators or whatever, they all go through very similar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hang on, I've lost my train of thought because I just started ranting.
You're good. I was going to say that the inner critic never goes away. It's been amazing for me to talk to so many artists in so many places, and ones that you would never expect. Like, you just, it's like we kind of have this built-in story in our brain that once you get to point A or point B or point Z, that like that critic will get a little quieter. And the thing is, it kind of just changes tone. Like, it's, I don't get as scared about doing certain things anymore, but now there's a whole new level of things that I get scared of putting out there. Mm-hmm. So it never really goes away. And I think it helps for people out there to know that they're not alone, and that feel the fear and do it anyway is really important to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too is, I remember what I was going to say, you're not just selling. I think when we create something, we have the propensity to, like, because we've been there for the whole process, we're like, oh, it's just, you know, it was a sketch that turned into this thing that I then like threw some paint on or whatever. And we normalize it. And we almost think that like it's simple or it's not that great or whatever. But what a customer sees when they look at that, or what your audience sees when they look at that, is encouragement or comfort or, you know, color. And I have noticed a huge uptake in on Instagram, people posting about having their morning coffees in my mugs, because one of the things I sell is mugs with bookish quotes and things on them. One that's very popular at the moment is "The only BS I have time for is bookstores," because it's just like the vibe people are going through. But people are posting on their Insta stories, like having their daily coffee and choosing their Kits de Kronk mug, which is just amazing.
And so wonderful.
I know, like, so many of them, they never get one. They have like a whole like collection of my mugs and they pick from one in the morning, which is just so wonderful to me. But what I'm seeing in that is it's giving them a moment of joy and comfort in their day to pick out a mug that like makes them smile and has a funny quote on it, and that reminds them that they're supporting a real person and a real business as well. And that makes them feel good. And when I look at that mug, all I see is, oh, yeah, I spent like a day on that sketch and I picked that color, and oh, I'm still not sure if I should have picked that color, and, you know, whatever. And that, but like, we need to remember that that's not what other people see. And sort of that's where we devalue it, but we need to see the value that it brings to other people, because that's why we do it. That's why it's important that we're creating those moments of happiness for people. And that is also really worth people paying for too. So you shouldn't feel guilty when people are still buying art in a pandemic or whatever, because, you know, like you and I were saying the other day when we were chatting, like, just because we have no money doesn't mean that other people don't have money. there are people who are still working full-time jobs from home and they're really struggling and they need things there to make them feel comfortable. And that's where we can step up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so true. Like, when you're creating art, you're not creating like this simple doodle, right? You're creating something emotional that resonates with people. Like, I was so blown away the other day. I started doing the 100-day project and I ended up, I've been doing this like daily live on Instagram, like doodle your feelings thing. And I never intended for these doodles, like, they really are in my mind like doodles of my feelings. And I did not intend for this to be a collection that I sold or like offered for sale. And someone the other day messaged me about one of my doodles and asked if it was available for sale, because she'd been waiting for something that like really resonated with her during the quarantine. And I was like, oh, I mean, I wasn't going to offer it. In my mind, the narrative was, oh, I wasn't going to offer this, but you know what? If she's asking for it, like, absolutely. Like, here you go. And I think what I'm getting to with all that is that, like, as artists, I think something to consider is not really thinking about it as selling, but really like sharing. You know, you're just sharing things, and selling is something that happens as a result, and that's awesome. But it's not like you have to convince anyone of anything. Like, if they already love bookish stuff, they're gonna love your mugs and buy them, right?
Yeah, it's like you're not forcing it down anybody's throat by putting these things out in the world. And like, I literally just got goosebumps when you were saying that that lady contacted you instead of resonated with her. I was just like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and to me it was just like this 10-minute doodle that had the F word on it. But apparently, you know, we all need colors and swears.
Yeah.
So
that should be your like tagline for the Darling River.
Colors and swears.
We all need colors and swears.
Yeah.
Love it.
Maybe so. These side projects always turn into something much more meaningful.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah. So I'm just like sitting in the feels from all that. I guess, like, how has this all of this kind of changed your personal practice? Have things like looked different for you? Obviously, we're all just at home. So is that bringing out any new projects or any new like curiosities along that vein?
That's a good point. I suspect that when I do unpack my paints somewhere, I will end up just like, so we've just moved house, and I will end up just painting the walls because I feel the need to. I'm going to get a bit of Rapunzel on this house. But
yes.
it has genuinely been really, really hard. So I'm an INFJ, and my N is actually really, really high. So that means I have a propensity to soak up the emotions of people around me. And I have been so emotionally exhausted throughout this entire thing. Like, if I so much as go to a grocery shop, I need to take like 24 hours to decompress and get away and detox all of those feelings and emotions. It's really, really hard. And I am finding that that is really impacting my creative process. Like, I would love to be like having this solo time at home, be really focusing on some really big projects or some new quirky things. And I've got some elements of that. Like, I'm going to play around with creating some GIFs for Insta stories just because I think it would be really fun. But so I'm looking forward to doing that. And I did have a big creative burst last week, and I lettered one of my favorite Lord of the Rings quotes, which was really fun.
So exciting.
Yeah, you should all go check out my Instagram and have a look at it, because I am so proud of it, and it just looks really, really great. But I would love to be doing something like that every day or every second day. But the fact of the matter is, at the moment, I can't handle it, because I am just on constant emotional overload. And I'm trying to figure out how to be at peace with that and how to not be annoyed at that, because I think that's not helping me process it. Like, I'm just angry that I am this exhausted.
And yeah, so, I think that's a really, it's an important point, right? Because we're all experiencing this collective trauma, and that's what it is, and collective grief, because nothing is the way that it used to be. And yeah, like, grocery store visits are like big boss level missions.
Yeah. So we've agreed that from now on, either Michael is going to do the grocery shop or he'll come with me to like distract me. So that'll be good. But it's just hard. And I need to remember though that I do genuinely love being an INFJ. I think it's an amazing personality type to be, but it comes with a lot of burdens. And I think one of them is also that I have a really, really strong sense of justice, and which anyone who follows me will see in my every Friday I do a feminist rant on my Instagram, because
it's fantastic. Yeah. Everyone needs to follow Kitzer Kronk on Instagram, and I'll put it in the show notes too.
But that just sort of inevitably happened, because there was so much going on in the world that I just, as a feminist, like constantly wanted to rant about. And I asked my audience if they were cool with it, and they have been like resoundingly excited and supportive of it, which is awesome. But at the same time, I feel like we're in a melting pot of the moment of a lot of systemic injustices in our governments and our social systems are really being having a light shone on them, or they're becoming like unavoidable, and that is also driving me nuts, and feel like the feeling of helplessness that I can't just like fix the world. It sounds like such an arrogant thing to say when I say it. So
no,
I think I'm just trying to give myself a lot of grace to not be super creatively productive in this time. And my main focus is literally just on not falling apart and just trying to take care of myself. And that's okay too, for if anybody else is in a similar boat, like, it's okay to just be doing the bare minimum to take care of yourself.
Yeah, well, and just surviving is a creative practice, right? Like, just living life, even at the quote-unquote bare minimum, which is your best is whatever it is, like moment to moment. That's a creative practice, because we're having to figure out like new creative ways to be okay in the midst of all of these like emotions and pressure and injustice and all the things that are frustrating to us. It's like, it's such an opportunity for us to go deeper and learn, like you said, to be okay with being not okay And it made me think of something that Brené Brown talks about all the time, that like, if we're going through this collective grief, like shame on top of grief is like the last thing you need, right? So it's like all taking the opportunity to acknowledge that we're all struggling with that. Like we're all struggling with that annoyance that we can't do what we normally would, but giving ourselves some grace, like you said, to just, if today all I can do is get up, or get up for 5 minutes and get my Animal Crossing game and then get back in bed. Cool.
Yeah. Yes, I have. I'm not on Animal Crossing, but I have caved and bought The Sims, and I've been playing The Sims. So
how has that been going? I haven't played The Sims in like 10 years.
It's so funny because you know how you talked about like we're all going back to nostalgic things. So I haven't played The Sims since I was in high school, and which was like, I don't know, a little bit over 10 years ago. And I always swore to myself that I would never get it again because I become very addicted. And but, you know, in this time, and I looked it up and it was 75% off. So it was like $20 to download The Sims.
Yes. And I
was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna give it a go. And it's actually been really nice, just some like escapism, which is also the reason why I read. So reading has been great for that sort of escapism as well in this time. But yeah, it's been, I feel like in so many ways that I'm a teenager again. Like I'm sleeping in past 9 o'clock and then I'm waking up and having bacon and eggs for breakfast because I can and I have the time, and then I'm just like playing The Sims, and you know, I'm basically the teenager.
Same. I also I mean, I'm sure we're all having trouble sleeping, but yeah, my schedule has totally morphed to being more of a teenager schedule again. And I've actually been craving, I need to find a downloadable version of like Oregon Trail version 5, because that was what I was playing in high school, was a lot of Oregon Trail.
Nice. I have, yeah, my friends on Bookstagram have been, did you ever play Croc? It was like a PC game.
You know, it sounds, it's like ringing a bell way deep down in my psyche. Yeah,
you'd probably recognize it if you saw like really blocky kind of graphics of this little crocodile who jumps around and like collects gems and stuff. But a bunch of us have rediscovered it, and it's really amazing.
That's so great. I also want to pull out like my Game Boy Color and play like Pokemon.
Yes. Those were the days.
They can be, and they are the days again. We are resurrecting.
That's true.
It's great. What are some other things that you've been doing just to like chill out? Is there certain books or anything that you would recommend to us in this moment?
Oh, well, I have books to recommend to anyone in any moment. I'd love to talk about my books. No, something I would recommend at the moment is, this is a really good time to reread a book that you loved. And I love rereading books. I do it whenever I'm going through a period of like bad mental health or whatever, because there's something intensely comforting about revisiting characters and a plot and a place that you loved disappearing into the first time. And because you're not in the suspense of wondering what's going to happen, you can really take it slow and just enjoy like slipping into this fictional place. It could be the same for, even if there's a nonfiction book that you've read that you got a lot out of the first time, you could go back and reread it. But I know a lot of my Bookstagram friends have been intentionally rereading their favorite books, or leaning a bit more towards like light and fluffy books and things that aren't too dark or intense or anything, because it just, yeah, it's can give you such a sense of comfort. And that's what I've really been enjoying. Both Michael and I have been reading a new series for us. It's been around for a while, called The Dresden Files, which is a wizard who lives in Chicago, and he like, it's an urban fantasy, and I love urban fantasy. So he solves crimes when it looks like, you know, vampires have been killing people or something. And we've been really enjoying that. And it's a I think it's a like 16 book series. So there's heaps of them. We
Ooh.
bought a bunch of them at a secondhand shop, but you can get them as ebooks as well. And it's been kind of nice just to be diving into a series that goes for so long and just being able to stay in it. So, yeah, some people might like that.
Yeah. I love when there's a series that you can count on for more than like three books, you know, where you just need a nice and long story arc with characters that you can get to know over a long period of time. Like, I actually never read past book, and people don't come after me when I say this, okay? Because I know, but I never read past like halfway through book four of the Harry Potter series. And so I think I'm gonna dive back in and go actually read them
Okay.
because I just, you know, it was I was the kid that was really into it, but then like halfway through book four, it was just so thick. And it was funny because for some reason I found it boring, but I was like Lord of the Rings all the way. So I just kept diving back into Tolkien and like C.S. Lewis and stuff. But I think now's the time for me to dig back into
That's
those.
amazing. I feel like if anyone wants to like get annoyed at you for that, that like you were reading Tolkien instead. So that's
There you
totally
go.
fine. I actually didn't read the Harry Potter books until like 3 or 4 years ago. Because
Yeah.
at the time the Harry Potter books were coming out, we were living in a small country town that was very religious, and there was a lot of pressure on any Christian parents to not allow their children to read them, so I never got to read them at that time.
Yes, actually, that was another
Yeah.
big reason why I didn't quite finish, is because, you know, growing up evangelical Christian with so many strange rules that actually made no sense and were like totally random looking back on them. One of the things was like, Harry Potter is witchcraft and of the devil. And like, we can't read that. But then my dad would take me to see the movies, and that was like our father-daughter date thing. And he was just like, I remember him being like, I don't know, it's just movies. So there were all these weird rules about the books, but then we could watch the movies,
That's so
so
funny.
who knows?
Yes. And I feel like that's a very like shared experience for anyone who grew up in like that time frame in a religious household. But yes, it's very funny. But yeah, I think but also one thing I will say about reading during this time is don't be ashamed to go and read kids' books. Like most
Yes.
Americans, if they did a study on this a few years ago, the majority of Americans actually read at a middle grade level. And it's not because anyone's dumb, it's just because you're all very busy and we just get out of practice. And when you are out of practice, I think a lot of adults try to, when they're like, I'm going to read a book, they jump into reading adult books because that's what they think they should be reading, but then they find them too complicated and hard to read and just not enjoyable. And if you've had that experience, like go read a middle grade book. Go read something at like Harry Potter E level because I guarantee you will enjoy them. Like I really, really love middle grade books because because of the audience that they're aimed at, they often deal with some like hard issues, or like how Harry Potter deals with a lot of like racism and systemic issues within the government and the power structure and all these things. But it's also really engaging and entertaining and adventurous, and it kind of gives you the best of both worlds in a lot of respects in that like that level or that genre. So if I did actually write a blog post recently for the Sartorial Geek about a bunch of middle grade series that people might enjoy reading right now. So you can always go check that list out as well as a starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll link that too, because that's a really good resource. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, that a lot of adults are at that, you know, young adult, quote unquote, reading level. And then it's like another shame trap, right? Like we feel like we should be reading at this level, and we try to read this book and we're like, ugh, like it's so bad. Or we feel like we have to finish it, even if we're not interested. Or we just put it down and then we're like, I just don't read, right? And people could find so much joy just trying something
Yeah,
new.
and that's it's exactly what you said. It's a shame thing. It's a should thing. It's what we feel like we should be doing. And I think one of the things I love the most about fangirl culture and Bookstagram and bookish culture is that, you know, the vibe is very just much like, love what you love. It is fine. If you're really into My Little Pony, which I am, that's fine. My Little Pony is amazing. And
it is, and it has been since the 90s and the 80s. Yeah.
I loved it then, and I love it now. The reboot is incredible. Highly recommended. It's very wholesome viewing. But, you know, like I say that to most people who I know, like, in real life, and I have a My Little Pony water bottle, and Michael has become quite a My Little Pony fan as well because I forced him to watch it.
He's a brony.
He has admitted he is a brony. He has opinions on the characters now, which is amazing. But, you know, I say that to people in real life and they just look at me like I'm weird. They're like, but you don't have kids. Like, so? Why can't I enjoy a kids show for all its amazing, wholesome goodness? And, like, that I actually really love. One of the reasons I do love My Little Pony is the art style. I find very soothing to watch. So there's that as well.
And the colors are fantastic. I actually, I'll do a My Little Pony series eventually. I've started doing like abstract paintings based on comic book panels, and I've been thinking of series that can come as a result of like other, you know, things. And My Little Pony and Care Bears are two of the ones that I want to play with because they were like my favorite in childhood and still my favorite because I loved that there was always a rainbow literally of characters.
That's an amazing idea. I am so on board with that. Yeah.
So many ideas and all the time in the world, but not that much energy.
That is the problem right
now.
It's fine. But yeah, I think I would just you know, encourage anybody in this time to, when you're in the privacy and I guess the safety of your own home and you're doing whatever you need to do to cope, throw should out the window and just get into whatever you want to get into. Like, no one's going to know that you've been watching My Little Pony on Netflix. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to tell people. It's fine. I actually just watched, what's it called? Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beast on, is it Kipo or Kipo? I don't know. It's on Netflix and it's like a limited cartoon series and it's like young adult, but the colors are so great. It's kind of reminiscent of like Adventure Time. It's really fantastic. And there are so many series like that on Netflix that are just, they're calming to watch and they're not, you know, like adult drama. We have so much of that in our real life right now. I think it would do all of us good to just like let some calming childlike color into our lives to kind of calm that inner child and let them know that it's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this has been amazing. I'm going to wrap this up with a couple of little like rapid fire questions, if you don't mind. Because it's just fun. So what do you have right now on your nightstand?
Oh, I have a lamp and an alarm clock and some lip balm because I'm obsessive with my lip balm and I always have to be wearing some.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
I actually recently got one from my friend at Spark and Sparrow, and she does book-inspired, like, lip balms and candles, and which is, like, you name it. There's a bookish version of course. Of it. But this one is Lavender Lemonade, and it's based on a character from the Throne of Glass series, and, oh, it's amazing. It's my new favorite.
I just love that there are so many ways to take nerdy culture and just make it into things. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
I just, that's one of my favorite things about going to cons. It's like, you name it, somebody has made a nerdy version of it. It's the best.
It's fantastic. All right. So night owl or morning person?
I am neither. I am a 10 to 12 hours sleep person.
I love that. Here for it. If you could eat one specific meal for the rest of your life, what would be your
ham
pick?
And cheese toasted sandwich and hot chips and thick shakes.
It is my go-to.
Love it. What flavor?
It's my go-to
shakes?
Comfort meal. I actually had one this week, and the shakes would either be I love a coffee thick shake. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man, I miss coffee shops
we,
so much.
Ours are still open, which I am all so right. incredibly grateful for. So.
That's amazing. A lot of ours are too, and they have like contactless like curbside pickup, yeah. which is amazing. I just miss like sitting in a coffee shop.
I used to do that like at least 8 hours a week, just sit in a coffee shop and work or read. Mm-hmm. And I miss it so much.
Me too. And we're gonna enjoy so many of the little things so much more after all of this is over.
I'm looking
just gonna soak
to
it in. All right. And yeah, me too. And for the last question, if you could give your 15-year-old self any piece of advice, what would it be?
It would be you are not fat. Honestly. Like, that is actually what my feminist rant is going to be about today on Instagram. But probably, you are not fat, but also you're nowhere near as bad as you think you are. In my teens, mm-hmm. Part of being an INFJ, I think a lot of us go through this in our teenage years. We feel very unusual and left out and weird and like we don't belong or there's something wrong with us. And yeah, I would just like to go back and say there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with you.
There's nothing wrong with you. And there's nothing wrong with any of you either listening. So thank you for that, Kit. And thank you for joining us. This was really,
thank you
really
so
great.
Much.
Absolutely. All wow. right. See you later. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It means the world for each and every one of you to take time to listen to this podcast. I love each and every one of you. If you want to hang out with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook under The Darling Revolution, or you can get all the latest updates about what I'm up to, events, new offers, new artwork, new podcast episodes, all the things by signing up for my email list on my website at www.thedarlingrevolution.com. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I love you all. Till next time, rage on, darlings.